Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. I'm so glad you could join me this evening. I have, it's just you and me this evening. I have no guests except you. And I have no doubt that you have many things on which you would like to comment or converse. Following yesterday's game in San Francisco, the Jaguars, of course, lost 20-3. Most people are classifying it as a disappointing loss, and that's understood. That's easy to understand. When you don't score a touchdown in a game, I think it can be categorized as having been a disappointment. Now, the Jaguars did, however, gain a lot of yards. I'm looking at the stats right now, and the Jaguars won the yardage battle 357-284. They won the first down battle 18-15. Over the 49ers. Lost the time of possession battle, although not grotesquely. But what happened at Candlestick Park yesterday was, very simply, the 49ers made all the big plays. They converted that critical fourth and one play at the Jaguars' 37-yard line, just inside the two-minute warning of the first half. I am still stunned that Mike Singletary elected to go for the sticks, elected to go for the first down on fourth and one at the Jaguars 37 and leading 10-0 at the time. And he had all of his times out, his three times out remaining. So he could have elected to punt the Jaguars into a hole, stop them, which the 49ers obviously were doing very successfully at that point because the Jaguars had no points. He could have elected to punt them into a hole, stop them, and use his timeouts, his times out in such a way that the 49ers could have ended up getting the ball back near midfield or not much across midfield with, who knows, a minute and 30 to play. A minute and 20 to play in the first half. Instead, Singletary made a big, big gamble. Took a big risk, in my opinion, by going for it on fourth and one. Because the 49ers were not running the ball well at all. They didn't run the ball well in the whole game. And they were not running it at all at that point. In fact, I'll look up the first half rushing totals for the 49ers. But, I mean, it had to be close to single digits for Frank Gore. Anyhow, he goes for it on fourth and one, and lo and behold, they throw a 30-yard completion down the sideline to Vernon Davis, tight end Vernon Davis. It was a tough pass because Alex Smith had to lob it over Clint Ingram, whose coverage was pretty good, and Vernon Davis had to make an over-the-shoulder catch, looking back into a wicked sun. Now, I mean, that is not a high percentage play. So think about what if Davis is blinded by the sun, drops the pass, the Jaguars take over at their 37-yard line with a minute and 45 to play in the first half and go right down the field and score a touchdown or even just kick a field goal. And now the 49ers' domination the whole first half has been cut to 10-7 or 10-3, which is nothing in this league. So, as I see it, that was, and by the way, Frank Gore had 13 yards rushing in the first half. So it was unlikely that they were going to convert on fourth and one at the 37 with the run. So it's why I call it the play of the game. Most people see it that way, too. The 49ers got the first down and then went on to a rather easy victory. You know, when you win by 17 points in the National Football League, you have certainly covered the spot, and you have given yourself some space down the stretch. And then, you know, the game nowadays is all about the last drive, the last couple drives of the game. Anyhow, you look at these yardage totals for the Jaguars, and they're not all that bad. So what was the problem? Well, the problem was, and Jack Del Rio said this, you're only 3 of 12 on third down conversions, and you're only 1 of 3 in fourth down conversions. And you were sacked 6 times, and two of those sacks resulted in fumbles. Now there's the game right there. Forget about yardage. When you make plays, when you sack the other guy and force him to fumble, you're probably going to win the game. We do have some callers, and I'm going to open it up right away, see which direction they want to go. And I'm going to start first with Chandler on the south side. Good evening, Chandler. How are you?
Hi, Vic. This is Chandler. I'm just saw the game yesterday, and a little bit. I just wanted to find your opinion on the quarterback. I mean, I see David's improved a lot the past weeks, but the good quarterbacks, they usually control the offense. They say that, for example, Manning or Brady or anybody, even Minshew for that matter, he actually identifies the rushers and calls the signals to the offensive line. And
okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I didn't quite understand what you just said. He didn't what?
He understands the rush, where it is coming from, and he usually tells the offensive line where the rush is coming from. And I have never seen David do that, and I'm not sure whether he's capable of doing it. And we are paying him $60 million for being the quarterback.
Okay, first of all, the calls that are made on the offensive line are made by the center, Brad Meester. That's standard on any team. This pointing that you're seeing, you're obviously referring to Manning, who is the gold standard of quarterbacks. And, you know, you said good quarterbacks, Brady and Manning, and I think you mentioned Breeze. No, those aren't good quarterbacks. Those are great quarterbacks. That's the elite. That's the creme de la creme. So understand this. You're judging Garrard against the highest level. I mean, you're judging Garrard against, first of all, two guys who are going to the Hall of Fame. Let's start with that. I keep hearing people say he's not an elite quarterback. Duh. Yeah, I know that. He's not an elite quarterback. What makes you think that everybody gets to have an elite quarterback? How many of them are there in the league right now? Breeze, Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger. How many are there? McNabb? You know, seriously, is Tony Romo an elite quarterback? No, he just won a game 7-6. Let's adjust our expectations to where they should be. What are our expectations of him? My expectations of him, and this is according to the money he makes too, by the way. That he's if he can get into the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, he's returning more than his value. That's just great. He's certainly in the top half of the quarterbacks in the league. I think he belongs to be mentioned at least in the 15 and above crowd. As far as yesterday is concerned, the thing that I have challenged David to, and I'm not saying that he has heard this and has picked up the challenge, is addressing it. I'm just saying this has been my challenge to him in recent weeks, is to end the bad games. They don't have to be, every game doesn't have to be a great game, but stop the bad games. He had a bad game, a really, really bad game in Tennessee a few weeks ago, like a quarterback rating in the 30s or something like that. Those are the ones that have to stop happening. Now, yesterday, if you look at the stats, well, he had a great day. I'm looking at the stats right now. He had a passer rating of 95.5. He threw for 307 yards. He didn't have any interceptions. Didn't have any touchdowns either, obviously. But you see, I don't see yesterday as a good game. And the reason I don't see it as a good game is because There were no touchdowns, and that's a quarterback's number one responsibility, to get the ball into the end zone. And number two, the two fumbles, the two strips. Now, I'm not one of these Jeff Loggeman watch the tape guys. I leave that to the experts, and Jeff Loggeman is an expert, and I can tell you what Jeff Loggeman told me this afternoon, and I don't think he would mind me saying this because he's doing it right now, Joe, on his smart board on a TV show, All Access.
Correct, in about 45 minutes.
Okay, in 45 minutes he's going to do this. So I'm going to give you a preview of what he's going to tell you on his All Access TV show when he does that smart board thing. What Jeff told me was that of the six sacks, I think he was blaming four of them on David, and that included both fumbles. Jeff told me that, let's take the fourth and two play, for example, because I can remember exactly what Jeff said. Jeff said that David Garrard had Mike Thomas sitting there wide open, 6 yards across the line of scrimmage. All David's got to do is get the ball out of his hand very, very quickly. In other words, snap, two steps, just pitch it. It's there. What David likes to do is he likes to look downfield. He likes to look at all the options. He likes to see if maybe he has somebody open for a touchdown in the end zone. David is extremely courageous. He'll stand in the pocket forever. That's the thing I think Jeff was telling me, and a lot of other people have told me. That's what's got to stop. He's got to stop being so courageous. He's got to stop being so willing to stand in the pocket forever. He's got to take that first guy, that first outlet receiver, hit him, get the first down. When he does that consistently, defenses will stop taking the risk of blitzing, and he won't be facing this kind of a charge every game. Joe, take us to the break, please.
You got it, Victor. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by North Florida's labor unions. A job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. Want to talk to Vic? We've got a couple lines open. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the area, say you're calling from, Canada. 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on your flagship station for Jaguars football, News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Parents, want your kids to meet Mike Sims Walker? Well, you can do it. Just visit Daly's 2685 Racetrack Road. That's right near Julington Creek. Tomorrow night from 5:30 to 6:30, Mike Sims Walker is going to be out there signing autographs, taking pictures. These Daly's visits keep getting better and better, Victor.
Is that right?
Yeah. But the guys they got going out there.
Okay.
I mean, take nothing against, Darryl Smith, who was out there before, and other guys. But, yeah.
Okay.
Go say hi to Mike Sims Walker.
Good. Yeah, he's a good guy. Good, real. Mike's a real engaging guy. He'll talk your ear off. I like that. I like that, in players. Because, I got to have
You're
words.
You're a reporter.
I deal in words. That last caller, he was talking about Manning pointing and all that. Hey, listen, all that's for show, folks. There's never been an offensive lineman made who had eyes in his butt. All right? And even if he did, I've never known them to make pants that have holes in them for eyes in the back. So, you can't point out where the blitz is coming from to your offensive lineman if they're winking at you with their hind end. I mean, it's all that is for show. Half all that crap is just window dressing. And people love it. Fans love it because they think there's a tendency to think that's what wins. What wins is the way Peyton Manning knows where to go with that ball, and he gets it there on the break, on time, before the defender can react to the route that's being run. That's the key. Not all that stuff with the fingers and the mouth. The throw. Let's go to another caller. Let's talk to Andy on the west side, because Andy wants to continue to talk about David Garrard, and we'll stay with that theme right now. Andy, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Vic. How you doing?
Fine.
I have to say that if you believe that David Garrard is a top 15 quarterback, the level of delusion that you're living in is outstanding. A top 15 quarterback does not have 8 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He can read defenses, and it's not Pro Bowl 1 week and, UFL the next week.
Okay.
And that's where Garrard's at. It's ridiculous that we have paid him the amount of money that we have, And I say we as the fans because we support the team.
That's where you're delusional. If you think 1 cent of that comes out of your paycheck, you're delusional.
Tell that to the rest of the city.
I'm saying it right now. I'm saying it right now.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is, if we don't turn our TVs on, if we don't show up to the games.
Oh, come on. Cut that crap. Turn the TVs on. There's 40,000 people in the stadium. There's 40,000 people in the stadium. That's what counts. These TV contracts, aren't negotiated on how many people watch TV in Jacksonville. Talk about self-importance. You're right, I was wrong. He's not a top 15 quarterback. He's a top 16, because that's exactly where he stands in the passer rankings right now.
Passer rankings are for suckers. Win some games.
Exactly where he stands in the passer rankings.
He's won 6 of them right now. Is that? It has the Jaguars in playoff contention. Is that not a good thing? Well, he didn't have the courage to stay on, did he? All right, let's go to someone else who has the guts to stay on the phone. Let's talk to Ryan in Charlotte. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Vic, long-time reader of the column. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, no problem. Do you have the guts to stay on the phone?
I wanted to comment on Rasheen Mathis and his absence.
It hurt.
It hurts. I remember the naysayers earlier this season talking about how Rasheen had that bad game against Seattle, and it's obvious the team's playoffs different without him.
Yeah, him not being in there is the equivalent of not having your starting quarterback, because he is the starting quarterback to your pass defense. He's the guy that the other team is going to attempt to throw away from. So it gives you, it allows you to direct your coverages to the other side instead of now having to cover both sides. You know, you're out there with a rookie, Derek Cox, at one corner, and Tyrone Brackenridge, a guy who's been cut by two teams on the other side. It's going to be very difficult to gauge where the ball is going to be thrown.
It could no pass rush.
I mean, that's the killer. That's the killer.
That's the beast. Thanks, Beck.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Appreciate it.
All righty. Who you got there, Joe? He's back. Put him on. Andy's on 3. This is you're back for another try, Andy.
No, I thought I got cut off.
Oh well, we didn't cut you off, Andy. We just got a dial tone.
Oh okay, okay. Well, that's my fault.
Okay,
that's my fault.
What would you like to say, Andy?
The bottom line is that we have to have a quarterback that can read the defense and make quick decisions.
Okay.
And if he can't, if understanding that the offensive line are rookies, mm-hmm. and they were on roller skates yesterday, mm-hmm. he has got to at least tuck the ball and go.
Okay. See, now, I went out back to the quarterback tree. They're all gone. They fell to the ground and someone raked them up. I mean, what? We're now 12 games, 11 games, 11 games into this season. Where in the heck are they going to find this quarterback that you're talking about?
I don't know, but the last couple games I've watched backups pick our defense apart. Why can't we have a backup that picks their defense apart?
Okay, so your idea is that McCown should replace Garrard. Is that correct?
I'm not going to say that because I don't know much about.
You
got to
say something, Andy, because you're not giving me solutions. You're just giving me bitches.
Oh well, that's exactly what I'm giving you.
Okay.
But the solution's not going to come in the middle season. I agree with that.
You got a quarterback who is 16th in the league in passer ranking. He's not elite, but he's not a bum. I said in response to the first caller that Jeff Loggeman explained to me this afternoon where the mistake was made on the 4th-and-2 play. I understand that the ball has to come out, and I said it, the ball has to come out of his hand faster on these blitzes, and when he does that, they'll stop blitzing. But if you're telling me that this guy doesn't have the ability to stand in the pocket and throw the ball down the field, then as you call me, you are delusional, because he's got a wonderful arm. He's got wonderful pocket presence. He is immensely strong and athletic. This last little piece of the puzzle for him is taking the outlet receiver as quickly as possible instead of looking for the guy downfield. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair. But at 32 years old, is he going to do that? Is he going to adjust that?
See, I can't answer that. But I can tell you that he didn't become a true starter until 2007. Now, he is at an age and a stage in his career that this has to happen, and it has to happen now. And I challenged him a few weeks ago after that Tennessee game to stop the bad games. As I said, statistically, this was a good game. 95.5 passer rating. You know, that's why I don't like stats, because I don't think it was a good game. The stats say it was a good game, but I don't think it was, because you got to get the ball into the end zone. Is there anything else I can do for you?
You can get us a different quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're going to see this team draft a young quarterback because they've got to start the development process. And with that, Joe will take us to the bottom of the hour break.
All right, Victor, Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and the guests could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Want to join the fun? Easy to do. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday right here on WOKV. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Just had the forecast. That's good golf weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, and by the way, that reminds me, Joe, you know, this Tiger Woods thing is big news.
Really?
Everyone has a theory on it, too, all these conspiracy theories on what happened. And
I think the old lady came after him with a couple of
irons. Well, Joe, a lot of unkind accusations have been made, and I have my own.
Was that unkind?
I'm reading into what your mood sounds like. Anyhow, I have my own theory on what happened, so let me bounce it off the listeners and see what they think. I think it's really very obvious that this is the likely thing that happened. I'm thinking that Tiger and his wife are having a little putting contest, you know, into a short glass.
Okay.
In the living room.
Gotcha.
At 2:30 in the morning. All right.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Got intense.
All right.
All right. She missed. He hits the cup, hits the little glass, and he fist pumped her. She took exception to it.
I've seen that movie.
She took exception to it and chased him out of the house with a 7-iron.
Uh-huh.
He got in a car, was going down the driveway. She's still chasing him. He pulls out down the street. She's still chasing him. He looks, you know, behind him to see where she's at, runs into a tree.
Wow.
And then she smashes in the back window to get to him.
Which
is, I think, the lesson in this. He should stop fist pumping after he makes a putt.
Potter games are tough.
What do you think? A plausible theory?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you. I take back everything I said.
All right, let's go back to football and get some, you know, more logical, rational conversation about yesterday's game. I want to talk to Ron in Ashford, North Carolina, who wants to talk about Gene Smith and drafting, two of my favorite things. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening, Vic. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Where's Ashford, North Carolina?
It's right there in the, basically towards the Tennessee border.
Oh.
Right there in the...
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, Smoky Mountains is beautiful.
Yeah, I got property in Waynesville.
Oh yeah, it's nice, really nice up there.
Oh yeah, you betcha.
Beautiful country.
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna tuck myself down the road. Anyhow, what can I do for you?
Well, I wanted to bring to your attention that I was reading in this interesting article by Tony Grossi. I believe you pronounce his name.
Yes,
in
sir.
The Cleveland Plain Dealer. He wrote a very interesting article on Gene Smith, him being an Ohio native.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, last summer they promoted Gene Smith while, you know, Shaq Harris was here. They gave him a title, and I'm sure they gave him a little extra money in his paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
And they were saying, and he was bringing to the attention, they did that intentionally to block the Cleveland Browns' interest in him.
Yeah, the Browns had I believe had called Wayne Weaver and asked for permission to speak to Gene about the vacant personnel job they had that they later gave to George Kokinas, and he accepted, offered, and he accepted. Gene had already at that point been promoted to director of player personnel. And then the Browns, I believe, called, and Wayne realized that he had to block that move, which he did by then promoting Gene 2 weeks after the first promotion, promoted him to general manager. What that means is he gave them a title that forced the Browns to have to do something better than general manager, give him a title above general manager to avoid it becoming a lateral move, and because the NFL does not honor lateral moves. You can't do it. A guy can't move from one team where he has a contract as general manager to another team to become general manager. You could go from one team where you're general manager to another team to become president of the team, but you see, you got to make a step up. So what Tony wrote this past weekend, it appeared Sunday in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, is that, hey, instead of Mike Holmgren and Bill Cowher and all these glitzy candidates, all the Browns need to do is look into their backyard from where one of the hot properties in the league has come. And we're talking about, of course, Gene Smith, a native of Monroeville, Ohio, which is northern Ohio, northeastern Ohio, Cleveland-type suburb, although farther out than you would normally associate with a suburb. And Tony Grossi pointed to all of Gene's successes here in year one, these draft picks who were playing, et cetera, and said in his story suggested to the Browns, here's your guy. Name him president, and your problems are going to be fixed because Gene Smith knows how to do it and do it the right way. So that's where we are right now. But the problem is the Browns can't have him because we do.
I thought from what you explained that if they gave him the title of president and offered him more money, wouldn't that be something that, you know, the Browns could indeed name him their general manager and president? And I'm sure the Browns could definitely offer him more money than what Wayne Weaver could offer him.
Well, then Wayne would have to name Gene Czar of Czars. that's the king of all titles, Czar of Czars. It cannot be trumped. You see where I'm going with this?
So we don't need to worry about it.
Nah, he ain't going anywhere. He's
okay.
He belongs to us. He belongs to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jacksonville Jaguars really need him, and they need him to keep doing what he did what he's done this year. This team is in hard reconstruction, and its roster is on the upswing. I promise you.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you one last question here?
Quickly.
I was watching the game, and on TV, you can't really see. The receivers down the field. Were the receivers down the field, or they just covered and Garrard just didn't have an option to throw to, which is why he takes those sacks?
Well, first of all, he threw for 307 yards. So he was obviously hitting a lot of those receivers who were open downfield. Well, what you're talking about is when he got that jailhouse blitz, you know, that jailbreak blitz, I'm sorry, when he got that jailbreak blitz where Patrick Willis and the house was coming at him, and he had, you know, less than a second and a half to get the ball out. That's where David has got to stop looking downfield. He's got to stop being courageous. And he's just got to get the doggone thing in the hands of the closest receiver, the outlet receiver, and call it a day, or call it a play, so to speak. He's a very, very courageous quarterback who loves to get back in the deep pocket and look all over the field. That's a habit that has to be broken, Ron. Thanks for your call. We're going to go to our... No? We're going to keep going? Okay, final break of the night?
Yes.
Do it, Joe.
How about a fist pump for the way out?
Yeah, fist pump.
Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit communityfirstfl.org for all the details. Vic will be back right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Jaguars Monday fans or golf fans or any fans. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. Victor.
You know what I liked about Andy is I called him out on the guts thing, and he came back.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
That's good.
Yeah, I like
that. See, you could be passionate, folks, about your phone call. Just remember, Vic could be passionate, too.
No. I'm fine. You can, if you want to shoot me down, do it. I got no problem with it. But when you start that, we pay his salary thing, man, that's the hot button. That's when I go off. Because you don't pay anybody's salary by watching the game on TV.
Technically, if that's true, they're also paying your salary then. Hey,
that's
watch
right.
the TV,
that's
they're paying
right.
you, they're paying me, they're paying
that's
all
right.
of us.
But
thank you, Andy.
Not with the TV thing. No, nothing comes out of the pocket. If nothing's coming out of the pocket while you're sitting on a couch watching free TV, you ain't paying nothing. Double negative. All right. Let's talk to Frank in Ponte Vedra wants to talk about the pass rush or lack thereof. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
Outstanding.
Big fan of your articles. I'm almost pathologic reading your acerbic comments, and I love them.
Don't change, please.
Hey, I agree with you. A quick comment. I agree with you on Garrard. It seems like everybody seems to have a penchant for attacking the marquee players of this team, but I mean, I think he's a decent quarterback. He's nothing great, but I think he's a decent NFL quarterback, and we have the best running back in the league. I mean, I think our problems are both lines. And,
he's not elite, but he's not a bum. And that middle category is very deep. There's a lot of guys in that category. He's in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'd be a lot of quarterbacks without Rush yesterday that would have had the same mistakes done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see a lot of those quarterbacks in the deck as much as Gerard does.
I wish it was 2003 or 2002 again. I wish he was 25, 26 years old. And they were committing to him as the long-term starter. I think he's a guy who's going to get this concept of. And by the way, I covered Terry Bradshaw for years, and that was the complaint about him. That's what they said about him. You know, he's got to get it to the outlet receiver. He's got to dump the ball against the blitz.
Frank.
He didn't get it until he was at the end of his career. It was still early enough in his career that he could win a lot of Super Bowls, but he didn't get it until the second half of his career. Fortunately for him, he became a starter right away as a 22-year-old rookie. But, you know, David's 32, so it's got to happen for him fast.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because a lot of people used to criticize him for being a dink-and-dunk kind of quarterback, and now that's...
Oh, no, he's not a dink-and-dunk guy. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, Alex Smith is a dink-and-dunk guy.
Yeah, and they tore us apart yesterday. But my quick question was about, two questions. One is, how do you interpret the Jekyll and Hyde type of this team? Is it because of their youth? And then the other quick question was, and I'm sure you'll shoot it down pretty quick, is with the Jets, with they use different schemes, do you think it's just the personnel we have, it's just impossible to come up with a scheme that can actually put any type of pressure on the quarterback? I mean, I think they put a graphic yesterday. I think that Niners had given up a sack in at least the last 15 games as sort of a streak, and obviously we didn't get one yesterday. So
I mean, obviously this team can't rush the passer. I think we just say that and stop there.
Okay.
And they're not going to rush it with the Jets schemes, the Steelers schemes, or their own schemes. A sack here is reason for great celebration. It's a national holiday, or at least a municipal holiday. Here's my take on this, what you're calling Jekyll and Hyde. If you look at the Jaguars' wins, they are all of the narrow variety, 23-20 in overtime over St. Louis, 24-21 over Kansas City, 24-22 over the Jets, 18-15 over Buffalo. And these aren't creme de la creme teams, okay? All of them narrow victories. So what I'm trying to say here is the Jaguars are at a stage of their roster development that they are challenged enough just to win a game against a run-of-the-mill team. When they face a team that might be significantly better than they are, such as Arizona. I believe that Arizona, when they faced them in week two, was a significantly better team than the Jaguars. I mean, they got Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Kurt Warner, I mean, Darnell Dockett, they have more star players. when the Jaguars face a team that is significantly better, or the Jaguars go on the road and face significantly difficult circumstances, I think it's overwhelming this team. It's just too much for this team to overcome. That's my take on what you're calling Jekyll and Hyde.
Well, I appreciate your answer, and I just hope people continue to support this team so we can see the fruits of all of Gene Smith's work, because I think they're going to be a great team in a couple of years down the road.
I think, Frank, what you've just said is the story of the year. If the Jaguars were to make the playoffs, obviously that would trump this. But in my opinion, the lack of support at the box office is the number one story this year, because it's not just about this year. It is about the future of professional football in Jacksonville, and it is tearing the heart out of all of us. It's scaring us to death. Do you agree?
Still bought a couple extra seats for a couple, two or three games this year, so I hope people out there listening who love this team try to do that if they have the money and capabilities.
The word I'm getting on this Sunday's game is that the ticket sales are especially bad. Especially bad. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but if you have some extra time and you got a little jingle in your pocket, sure could use you, folks. Time for another caller, Joe? Hey, by the way, Frank. See? Why don't we talk to Trevor in Montreal, is a weekly guest and or caller. Trevor, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Vic?
Good. You got to be quick, though.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to know, did Del Rio go for it on 4th-and-2, do you think, because Scobie was struggling?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what he said after the game. He said he wasn't comfortable. I'm quoting him. I wasn't comfortable with the way Josh was striking the ball. He hit the middle of the ball on the second one he missed. That's according to Josh. His foot slipped. His plant foot slipped on the first one he missed. And let's not forget that what we thought was a squib kickoff against Buffalo at the end of last week's game was not intended to be a squib kick. He mishit the ball. He's going through one of those things right now, like a golfer, like a baseball player, like a batter. He's in a slump. He's not hitting the center of the bat. He's not hitting the center of the club face. He's not hitting the center of his foot or wherever he's supposed to hit it. So he'll fix that, because, as he said, that's not me. And he'll get back to where he belongs. He's one of the strong-legged kickers in the league, and he's got long-term upside. So don't quit on him, folks. There isn't anything near his talent level on the waiver wire or the NFL scrap heap. Trevor, I guess, has left us, and which leaves
you and I. You're going to sing and take us out?
No, I'm not in a singing mood tonight.
All right. Hey, I didn't know that. I didn't know that squib kick at the end of the game last week wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, he missed hit the ball.
Okay.
He's the way he hit it means he again hit it in the middle of the ball.
Right.
And what that means is that something is lifting. The head is lifting. The shoulders are lifting, or he's dipping on it or something like that. It's a technical thing. They'll fix it.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll see you again Wednesday on Jaguars This Week, along with Brian Sexton and Jeff Lagerman. Brian will be here tomorrow with the Jack Del Rio Show. So keep it right here. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Good night, everybody.
WOKV AM Jacksonville. WOKV FM Palm Beach Beach. Nick Ketchman. Brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.